And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy, actually Power of Prophecy. You know, Jerry, that's the first time I've said that, made that mistake in many years. We used to be called World of Prophecy. And you know, there is a world of prophecy out there, but actually it's Power of Prophecy. Oh, I'll tell you, you know what? My head is so full of this book that I've been reading, rereading again today by Victor Thorne, entitled 9/11 Evil. Man. On the cover, it says the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written. We've got Victor Thorne on the line. I'm going to introduce him in just a minute to you. But I think that's what it is, Jerry. Jerry's my producer and engineer over here. I think it's, you know, in my head, I got all this stuff. You get all these facts. And so sometimes it just doesn't, you know, fit. Something has to go the other way, you know. I wish I was more intelligent. Maybe I could get it all in one big little sock or something. But in any case, this book really has me fascinated because it coincides, Jerry, with everything that I've discovered over the years really happened with 9/11. And 9/11 is really the cardinal event in our lifetimes, you might say, for our generation. It really catapulted America into a whole new reality of evil, of big brotherism. But I want to talk with my guest about that. I don't want to say too much about it. Victor Thorne is his name. He's married to a very sweet lady, and they've been very kind enough to invite me on their radio program. He has a website, wingtv.net. By the way, Lisa Giuliani is Victor Thorne's wife and co-author of this book. They've done some fascinating things. They're both very brilliant people, and I think this book, you know, I was waiting for a book to come along, and I've only seen two. This is the first that I know of that actually exposed Israel's central role in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Was it 19 Arabs? Oh, yeah, sure. But Victor Thorne is here with me. Let me tell you a little about him. He's the founder of the World Independent News Group. You'll have to go on wingtv.net. That's wing as in a bird's wing or an airplane wing, WingTV.net. He offers many books and videos and other things on that website that we don't offer. He's author of a couple of fascinating books on Hillary Rodham Clinton. Man, we're going to get into that a little bit later on too, because she seems to just want to keep hanging around. She's hoping that the Barack Obama will be assassinated, I guess, so she could have a chance at the nomination of the Democratic Party. Incredible things going on there. But Victor Thorne has written a two-volume series of books exposing Hillary Clinton, and I think they're probably the best books written about Hillary, so we're going to tell you about those and how to get them a little bit later on the program. I want to tell you how to get this book. Now, this is the first time, dear friends, I've offered a book exposing Israel's role, and along with the Bush administration and the rogue criminal elements in our own government, not all of our government, but just those criminal elements. And Victor Thorne wrote the first book. The first time I got it, I was very impressed with it. It's a book of facts and documented. And I appreciate that. Hey, Victor, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tex, and it's an honor to be here.
You know, you were courageous enough to write, author, and publish this book. I think it's pretty amazing when you think about it. There's so much opposition. Now, do you remember when President Bush went to the United Nations, Victor, and he said, we're not going to tolerate conspiracy theorists about 9/11, conspiracy theories?
Well, I absolutely remember that, and the entire government story is a conspiracy theory. He must have been telling us not to believe what he told us, because if you believe what the government told us about that event, the only thing they said the truth about was that the sun was shining that day, because everything else is a lie.
Yes, it sort of reminds me of a book I saw. I don't know really what it was about. I don't think it was about 9/11 at a B. Dalton bookstore. I looked at it, and I was sort of curious. The title of it was, "Hello, He Lied." You know, I mean, hello, he lied. He just starts off lying. Well, here's the thing about 9/11. I want your opinion on it. It seems that this is, as I said, the cardinal event. It's traumatized America, propelled us into this horrible new reality. Do you see 9/11 also as being the cardinal event, perhaps, of our lifetime?
Well, without a doubt, it is right now, and there's been so much that's happened since then. And really, at Wing TV, we were among other researchers who were bringing out the truth, including yourself, is that luckily that there are people out there that want to know what really happened that day. But I noticed, Tex, one thing was that as the years went by after 9/11, there was a lot of information coming out, a lot of truth coming out, but it seemed like there was a hesitance, not only, of course, in the mainstream media, who refused to tell the truth about anything, but also in this Patriot movement or the 9/11 truth movement. And let me liken it to this. Say that you left your house tonight on a trip, and you came back a couple days later and you found that your house had been broken into. Okay? Well, you call the police, they come to your door, and you start asking them questions. You say, "Who did this? Do you know who did this?" And they said, "Well, there were two burglars." And you say, "All right. Well, who were they?" And they say, "Well, they drove a brown Chevy Impala." And you say, "All right, well, who were they?" And they said, "Well, they broke in at 11:37 last night. They wore black clothes and blue caps." And he's like, "All right, well, who were they?" And he said, "Well, they made their getaway on Elm Street." And you say, "All right, I know all of this information. Who did it?" Mm. They say, "We're not going to tell you who did it." Well, I started to notice the same thing in the 9/11 truth movement, was that everybody was afraid to say who was actually behind these events. Now, they would say, "Oh, it was Bush Cheney." And, of course, Dick Cheney played a central role in this. But they refused to take it a step further and say who else was involved in it. And, Tex, if we want to confront and conquer evil, we have to have the courage to specifically address evil. If we're afraid to say who did 9/11, who was behind it, then what good is it? We can't arrest the people that did it. We can't convict them. We can't imprison them. So we can't keep talking about vague concepts like, well, it was the New World Order, or it was the Illuminati, or the globalists, or the neocons. Of course, all these groups exist and so forth, but we have to put a face to evil. And I know, getting your newsletter for I don't know how many years now, you're one of the people out there that's not afraid to put a face to evil. And that's the only way that we can conquer it, because if we keep talking in these vague terms, then what that is it's rookie action, or it's minor league conspiracy theory, and that's not good enough for me, and I know it's not good enough for you. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we running a protection racket around Israel and refusing, if people are willing to say that elements within our government were responsible for 9/11, which they were, then why are we afraid to say that elements within the Israeli government were also involved? So that was the main reason why I wrote this book.
Well, I'm glad you did, Victor, because you're absolutely right. You know, I've read almost every book out there, and some of them are very fine. As you mentioned, they have information. They explain, you know, why it had to be an implosion, why there had to be bombs planted, all kinds of technical things. I mean, we've had engineers, the scholars for 9/11, hundreds of, terrific people, and they all conclude it was an inside job. But then you ask by who? But they want to run away. And yes, when I've mentioned Israeli Mossad and some of the proof that you've presented in your book, 9/11 Evil, on radio talk shows, I mean, I could tell them it's almost like a gasp. You know, like, you know, I took away their breath on the other side, of the radio. That they were frightened. They're scared to say these things. You remember General Zinni, the Marine general, along with a guy who was the famous author who wrote the book Red November?
Tom Clancy.
Yeah, Tom Clancy. Real good guys. Tom Clancy knows a lot about the intelligence organizations and so forth. General Zinni, the top Marine general, they wrote a book even warning about the neocons. Now, there's another one. Everybody will talk about the neocons, but then you say, well, who are these neocons? And then they just shut up and run away and hide.
Well,
so they've got these euphemisms. The government did it. It was an inside job. The New World Order, as you said, the Illuminati, the elite. But nobody wants to tell you who they are.
Well, let's talk about who they are, Tex, because what we know, we've taken it a step further when we say 9/11 was not only an inside job, but an outside job, too. And let's look at who they are. There's this entity called the Defense Policy Board, which is even more powerful than the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the Pentagon. The Defense Policy Board runs the war machine. And some of the people on this board are Henry Kissinger, Elliot Cohen, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, and Richard Perle. Coincidentally, all Jewish. Also, some of the other ones are Kenneth Adelman, James Woolsey, and Newt Gingrich, who are Zionists. Now, within the White House itself, people that were influential in getting this war going, Scooter Libby, Dove Zakheim, David Wormser, Elliot Abrams, Daniel Pipes, Stephen Bryan, all Jewish again. What we have, Tex, is 9/11 was committed by Zionist elements within the United States government and also elements within the Israeli government. And the war right now that we have, this war on terror in Iraq and in Afghanistan, this is a Jewish war led by groups such as JINSA and AIPAC and the AEI, the American Jewish Committee, and the PNAC. This is a Jewish war led for Jewish motivations and Jewish gain. And I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm glad that I have a forum where I can say it, and there are listeners who will accept this information, because if we keep skirting around the bush here, no pun intended, or we keep playing merry-go-round, we're never going to get to the bottom of this matter, and we have to put a face to this instead of just using euphemisms.
Okay, now let's go into the facts of this. Benjamin Netanyahu, educated in America, former Prime Minister of Israel, and evidently slated possibly become Prime Minister again, Likudnik, one of the hardliners in Israel, just happened. Let me clear my throat when I say that. Just happened to be in the United States when 9/11 occurred. And he said something. He said, you know, that 9/11 was a good thing for Israel. 9/11 is a good thing for Israel. And he went on to express his opinion that it meant that the United States would now fully back Israel and its aims and ambitions in the Middle East. It was a good thing for Israel. 9/11 was good for Israel. What did he mean by that, Victor?
Well, this was a day or two after the September 11th terrorist attacks, and a reporter put a microphone in front of his mouth. Benjamin Netanyahu's exact quote was, when asked about the September 11th terror attacks, he said, "It's very good." Well, it's not good, but it will generate immediate sympathy for Israel. Now, why would anybody think of Israel at that moment? Israel wasn't attacked. America was attacked. But there's such an Israeli egotism about these people, this just self-centeredness that they're at the center of the world, that why would there be sympathy for Israel? 3,000 of our citizens, innocent citizens, were killed that day out of no fault of their own. Why would anybody say anything like that? And he wasn't the only one. There's also a guy named Ehud Brinzak, who's a terrorist expert at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and he said, from the perspective of Israel, that 9/11 was the most important public relations act ever committed in their favor. Just think of the monstrous evil of that. There's also another guy, Ami Ayalon, who's an Israeli military expert, and he said ever since September 11th, their leaders have been euphoric that America got attacked. Now that's just it's an incredible statement to make and to jumble through somebody's mind. Yet we haven't heard any of these statements on any of the mainstream news sources. All we saw within hours of these attacks was the finger pointing at this mythical Santa Claus figure named Osama bin Laden, who's not even alive right now, and these 19 Arab terrorists. This was all a guise so that America would start this war and do the dirty work for Israel to attack their enemies. And Tex, since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, there's only been one country on the face of the earth that's benefited. Has Afghanistan benefited? No, they're getting their whole entire country blown up. Iraq certainly hasn't benefited. America's going down the drains in debt because of what we're paying for this war. There's only one country that's benefiting, and that's Israel, and it's reflected in the statements made by Benjamin Netanyahu and these others.
Well, I tell you, you're right on a target with those things. Now, right about the time 9/11 happened, within days, I received in the mail, Victor, a huge newspaper, the front page of the Weewalkin', New Jersey daily newspaper. Have a good friend there who's a best-selling author, and he likes to expose things too. And he put a little note on it, said, "Tex, what do you think about this?" And it talked in that article. It took the whole front page of the Weewalkin', New Jersey newspaper. It said that there was a company, and even had a picture of the warehouse called the Urban Moving Systems. And it said that the FBI and the New Jersey State Police had raided this warehouse of this Urban Moving Systems and had found some very interesting things. And you talk about this in your book. Now, I waited. There was a little bit on the news, just a little blink your eyes and it was gone, about this Weewalkin' company, Urban Moving Systems, and about some people they call the Dancing Israelis that seem to be filming and had set up their cameras in advance to film 9/11, so knowing it was going to happen. And all of this was in the Weewalkin' New Jersey newspaper, and I have that headline, I have that front page, but I never saw it in my local newspapers or Associated Press or online or the New York Times. It never came out except in very limited format. Tell us about what happened exactly with this Urban Moving Systems, these Dancing Israelis, and what you think really did happen.
Well, the reason it didn't come out was because there's a guy named Carl Cameron who still reports for Fox News, and shortly after this event happened, he did compile a series of newscasts on the Israeli spy scandal and some of it touching upon 9/11, but this was axed by Fox News. It was never allowed to air. And the reason why, Carl Cameron said that investigators within the DEA, the INS, and the FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest any kind of Israeli spying event is considered career suicide. So they were told right up front that this will not be reported on. Now, this Urban Moving Systems, it was owned by an Israeli, a guy named Dominic Otto Suter. And shortly after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, he cleaned out his warehouse, which was in Weehawken, New Jersey, and guess where he went? He went back to Israel. Well, he had some people that were employed there, who later became known as the Dancing Israelis, and they were filmed, first of all, in New Jersey's Liberty State Park, and then later on the roof of this building in Weehawken, New Jersey, okay? When they were videotaping the planes hitting the towers. Now, first of all, you have to ask, how would they have their cameras pointed on the World Trade Center towers when supposedly nobody knew that this was even going to happen? Well, as all this is happening, and then as the World Trade Center towers collapsed on live television before us, we see these five dancing Israelis shouting joyfully. They're making a mockery of it. They're jumping for joy. And what they're doing is making high fives to each other. They're celebrating. They're photographing themselves in front of the wreckage in front of them. And it was as if they knew it was going to happen. Well, later on, after these people were actually apprehended in a van, and I'll get to this part later, but we'll jump ahead a little bit. They were finally deported out of the country, never held, never imprisoned for more than a couple weeks. They were deported by Michael Chertoff, who has a dual Israeli-American citizenship. And these five dancing Israelis, their names were let's get this clear, since we're naming names today. They were Sivan Kurtzberg, Paul Kurtzberg, Yuron Schmock, Edad Elner, and Oner Momiri. They're all Israelis. And when they were interviewed later on Israeli television, they were asked why they were on this rooftop filming the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And they said, the fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event. Now, Tex, did you know about the September 11th terror attacks before they happened?
Never had a chance to document the event.
Right. Nobody that I'm aware of, not one person that I've ever encountered, knew that these were going to happen beforehand. Yet they admitted on Israeli television that they were there to document 9/11. Well, they were documented because when they were on this rooftop in New Jersey, there they were with their cameras pointed on the tower celebrating it. And it's incredible. It's incredible to imagine, because not only were they on various government terror lists already, but when they were pulled over in this van, they had such things in there as bomb-making materials. They had maps of New York City monuments. They had cash. They had box cutters. All the things that we were told that these Arab hijackers, these Arab terrorists had, when in reality, it was these Israeli terrorists. If you ask anybody on the street, who were the first people arrested after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, I'll bet you 10 out of 10 people would say, well, the Arabs were the first people arrested. No, they weren't. The first people arrested after the 9/11 terrorist attacks were Israelis. They were the first ones. Yet, there's virtually nothing in the news. This is real hush-hush after it was done. And then Michael Chertoff just scooted them out of the country after this happened, and they were never heard from again, except in Israel, where they admitted they were there to document the event.
Now evidently onlookers, saw what was going on, saw them high-fiving each other and dancing with joy and filming it up there on top of the roof. They reported this to their local police, and it finally all ended with the state police of New Jersey, along with the FBI, raiding this Urban Moving Systems, which evidently, according to your book and to the reports from the Weewalken newspaper there, turned out to be an Israeli spy cell. So the whole thing was an Israeli operation from the beginning with this so-called Urban Moving Systems. That way they could move stuff back and forth all over the United States, claiming to be a moving company and do their dirty deeds. Now, you mentioned Chertoff. Chertoff now is, of course, the Homeland Security Director of the United States.
Yes, he is.
Now, at the same time, New Jersey has had a state security director there who got a little involved with the New Jersey governor.
Uh-huh.
And he turns out to be an Israeli secret agent, and he was head of the New Jersey Homeland Security.
Yeah, he got appointed to that position because he was the governor of New Jersey's homosexual lover, so it's kind of funny how those things work, isn't it? Well,
McGreevy, Governor McGreevy. Of course, he and his wife finally got a divorce. The poor woman had to go on national TV. But so they even planted one of their own. They got this by blackmail, this homosexual guy from the Israeli embassy, an agent of the Israeli Defense Forces or the Mossad, had sex with the governor of New Jersey. Elliot Spitzer was untainted compared to these yokels.
Oh, absolutely. And the guy that ran this Urban Moving Systems, I mentioned his name, it was Dominic Souter. Well, once you dig a little bit deeper into his profile, you realize that even before 9/11, he was on the FBI suspect list, being suspected of involvement in previous terror attacks. Now, after he vacated America, cleaned out his warehouse, he went back to Israel. Then, shortly thereafter, the Forward newspaper, which is the most influential newspaper that covers Jewish events, said of Urban Moving Systems that it was a front for Mossad activities. So they admitted now that this warehouse in Weehawken, New Jersey, was a front for the Mossad activities. We see that these dancing Israelis, who, even though we were told they were art students, actually were employed by not only the Mossad, but also by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. And here's some of the things that they were involved in when they were investigated. They were involved in bomb-making materials. They were electronic intercept operators. One was a bodyguard for the IDF commander. They studied demolition and explosive ordnances. One was an intel officer, one was in the special forces, and one was also the son of an IDF two-star general. So these are all very much insiders who studied wiretapping, phone surveillance, and ordnance and demolition.
So, and they were caught, but they were let go.
They were let
go. Secreted in, evidently, an LL Israeli aircraft back to Israel, where they even went on national TV and became heroes.
Right. And one of the lawyers, now, these guys, when they were apprehended in America, one of them refused to take a lie detector test. Later, he did consent to a lie detector test. He failed it. Now, when his lawyer, an Israeli named Ram Horvitz, he admitted, first of all, that Paul Kurtzberg, one of the dancing Israelis, he admitted that he once worked for Israeli intelligence. And when they asked why they were celebrating, high-fiving, why they were jumping for joy on the top of this building when the towers were collapsing, he said that this was nothing but youthful foolishness.
Youthful, yeah, okay.
Now, when I read that, I was reminded of an event or multiple events that happened a few years ago down in Alabama. You remember the Alabama church burnings, where they finally arrested three Israeli teenagers who burned down 9 Christian churches in Alabama.
Well, you had to sort of dig
yep.
to discover that they were Jews
yeah.
that burned down these 9 churches.
Exactly. But when their lawyer was asked why they burned down 9 Christian churches, he said that it was simply a prank. So, youthful foolishness, a prank. I remember that day, Tex, like it was yesterday, and there's not one person I've ever encountered that thought this was youthful foolishness, that celebrated, but they were making light of it, that, oh, they were just youngsters and they were celebrating because they didn't know any better. Well, that's a bold-faced lie, because they knew exactly and precisely what they were doing and what they were filming, and to them this was a victory, because they knew that once this terror attack took place, that everything in the world was going to change and Israel would once again be at the forefront of all the benefits that happened from it. And for them to make these kind of excuses is absolutely appalling. And yet, most everybody, not only in the mainstream media, but the Patriot movement, is afraid to talk about this stuff. And it's time that it gets out in the open for everybody to hear.
Okay, now, if you're going to pull off a massively successful intelligence espionage operation such as this, that results in the life of 3,000 Americans, plus assorted British and others, and two of the world's most famous skyscrapers being imploded by bombs planted inside, aircraft carriers hijacked and so forth. There are things you need. And now, when we come back on the other side, I'm going to be asking you, for example, you would need to pretty well control the security for airports. So that, you know, you get your people on and all of that without getting caught. You would also perhaps need communications companies, messaging services and so forth. You might even need contacts with the U.S. military, for your agents and so forth. You might need some contacts that are able to spend money in the Pentagon, at the CIA, and then maybe even in the White House, you need your contacts there. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you about all these areas. Did they have associates, these Israeli monsters, in the White House, in the Defense Department, in the military? And the man who owned the buildings, or the company that own such buildings, this could be a devastating loss if you own the World Trade Centers and they were reduced to cinders and dust. So how did that gentleman fare in all these things? These are some of the questions I'd like us to get into, Victor, on Side 2. Is that okay?
Oh, I look forward to it.
All right, my friend. Victor Thorne, author of 9/11 Evil is Here Today. And man, what an expose. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. I have this book by Victor Thorne in my hands. Sort of a large format book. It's about 125 pages, but I mean, it's packed with data, packed with information, exposing Israel's role in the 9/11 evil. It's been called the most dangerous book on 9/11 ever written. And of course it is. It is because it tells exactly who did it. It was an inside job, but as Victor Thorne has said here on this program today, it was also an outside job. Now, other people won't tell you about it, but Victor Thorne does in this book. You must have this book. This is one of only two books that I know. It was the first book out there, and now it is essential. It is essential. You know, it was Henry David Thoreau who once said that there are 1,000 people hacking away at the tree of evil for every one that is hacking away at the root. Friends, you've got to go directly to the root of evil. And this book, 9/11 Evil, does it. Now, here's how to get this book for just $15. Just $15 for the book on 9/11 Evil that gives you all the information you need. I hope you'll order it and then come back and order a dozen copies and give to your friends. Give to your pastor. You know, I know a lot of people doubt this. They say, oh, it can't be. It cannot be an inside job. Surely Israel wouldn't do that to America, their great ally. Baloney. You need the truth. Get this book and then buy multiple copies. Hey, if you'll buy a case or so, we'll give you a discount on it because Victor Thorne has been good enough to give us a discount. We'll pass it on to you. So for $15, we'll send you this book. $4 shipping and handling, total of $19 postpaid. Now, here's how to get it. Just phone us toll free during the work week now. That's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Call us at 1-800, that's toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can get it on our website. It's right going to be right there on the homepage. Isn't that right, Jerry? Okay. Either conspiracyworld.com or our regular number one website, powerofprophecy.com. By the way, not only on International Shortwave Radio, but this radio program today will be on for a solid week, 24/7, this show with Victor Thorne there on powerofprophecy.com. So you can listen to it in perfect clarity, and you can order the audio tape or CD of this program from us for $8, include $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll send you, ask for the audio tape or CD, specify which one you'd like, the 9/11 Evil program with my guest, Victor Thorne. Thorne, he's a thorn in the side to the evil doers of this world. So I appreciate even his name. Might be some interesting meaning in that as well. Now, again, powerofprophecy.com. I want to mention, too, he didn't ask me to do this, but I want to because he has a lot of other books and offerings, including his two-book volume about Hillary Clinton that you'll want to get, okay? And by the way, Victor Thorne writes a weekly column for American Freedom Press newspaper. You'll want to get a subscription to that newspaper, too. See what he's saying because he always has interesting things to say. And, you know, the nice thing about Mr. Thorne is he documents what he says. He has the facts behind it. Now, his website, and you'll want to see all of these other books that he has. And by the way, he has 9/11 Evil on his website, too, so you can order from him. You know, I'm not just trying to get you to order from us. Anywhere you can get this book. But I'll tell you something. It's probably not going to be available at your local bookstore. It's, you know, you can't go into Barnes & Noble. Maybe you can order it. I'm sure you can. But they'll try to keep it, you know, away from you. But very few people have the courage to write such a book, and almost no one wants to publish it and offer it for sale. They're afraid of the repercussions. Now go to wingtv.net. That's, of course, www on the World Wide Web. wingtv.net. Pretty easy to remember. Wing, W-I-N-G, TV.net, And Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani have a whole array of books and videos, information there, some very fascinating articles. You'll want to read it all. And you'll want to check that website at least once or twice a week to see what's new from Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. Now, let's return to our regular program. Victor Thorne is my guest today. Victor, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thanks for having me back, Tech.
Hey, how long has it been that you've been writing books? I know you've written several books about the New World Order and this new two-volume series on Hillary Rodham Clinton, and she's going to be a factor in American politics, she and her evil husband, for a long time. How long have you been into this?
Well, I started my press in 2000. That was when the first book came out, so 8 years now, and actually it's a three-book series on Hillary Clinton.
Oh, good.
Is the sex volume, the second is the drugs volume, and the third, which will be released by the American Free Press at the end of the summer, is called the murder volume. So sex, drugs, and murder, and it's the most comprehensive series ever published on the Clintons, and a lot of people out there know a lot about them, but this book completely rips the veil off, and there's just nothing left to expose after that. You'll see these monsters that they're starkest and they're most evil, and that's what they are.
Can a Clinton, the Clintons, the sex volume, then you have the, remind me again.
Drugs volume.
Drugs volume. Boy, they all go together, don't they? And then sex, then
murder.
The Clintons, the murder volume. Three great books. I like the covers of the books, too, that I've seen them. Well, folks, you'll get those on wingtv.net. Now, I'm assuming that Amazon.com offers your books as well, Victor?
Yeah, I have them on Amazon.com, correct.
Okay, so Victor Thorne, T-H-O-R-N, just like it spells. And you might want to go on Amazon.com, too, if you shop there. But we have 9/11 Evil, but the other books by Victor Thorne on his website, wingtv.net. Okay, enough of all the book things and everything. Let's get into all these facts and documentation. Right before the break, I mentioned that there must be a web of deceit involved in this 9/11. In addition to these so-called dancing Israelis that were caught filming it and helped to perpetrate it, who are some of the other rascals involved in this horrible crime?
Well, before 9/11 ever happened, they needed to have four key components taken place. One was they had to get George Bush and his neocon cabinet selected into office. I say selected over elected because he was selected long before he was ever elected. So first they had to get Bush, Cheney, and the neocons in office. Secondly, they had to take over control of the Pentagon, which they did via Donald Rumsfeld. Third, they had to buy the World Trade Center complex, which was owned before 9/11 by New York City's Port Authority. They had to get it out of their hands and get it into a man's hands who they could work with. And we'll get to him in a second. And the last thing they had to do was control security at the airports so they could have this ruse where they could control the airplanes and so forth and pin it on the Israelis. So the first real component was to buy the World Trade Center towers. And on July 24th, 2001, less than 2 months before 9/11, a man named Larry Silverstein, who is Jewish, bought it from New York City's Port Authority. Now, Larry Silverstein was the former president of New York's United Jewish Appeal, which was a very influential Zionist organization. He was also on the planning board of the United Jewish Federation. He was vice president of AIPAC, which is another influential Jewish organization. And he's also been involved in money laundering and heroin trafficking. So this is a dirty man. This is a bad, bad guy. But he bought the towers, and shortly after that, that's when they had this power down, which happened the weekend before 9/11, where all the security, all the electricity and so forth was powered down so that they could do the final wiring to accomplish his controlled demolition. So that was a big one. Now, you also mentioned, Tex, was that they needed some security firms at all of the airports and so forth on 9/11. So there's this company called ICTS, which is a private security firm, and they were contracted to cover all of the terminals on 9/11. Well, this is an Israeli company owned by Ezra Harel and Menachem Asmon. Now, these were former employees of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, and also Shin Bet, which is a terrorist organization. So you're starting to see now how a lot of these pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit into place, because we have the neocons in office, we have Larry Silverstein, a Jew, buying the World Trade Center towers, and we have the security at all of these airports being taken care of. Now, there's also other things like Odigo Instant Messaging Service, who was contacted 2 hours before 9/11 even happened, letting them know that it happened. And there's also these other telecom companies and surveillance companies like Amdocs and Comverse Info Systems, which what they did was they were in charge of the phone records of nearly every phone company in America, the largest phone companies anyway. Comverse was the primary source to the federal government for the wiretapping equipment. Now, they were 50% funded by the Israeli government. Amdocs had their main computer systems in Israel. You had Odigo, which was in Israel. And then you have something called Checkpoint Systems, which took care of all the firewalls and the back doors so they could get into these computers. Their headquarters were in Israel. So all of them have direct links to the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. And what a lot of these art students were doing was, in the year or two before 9/11, they were following around people like Muhammad Atta and others who later became known as the 19 Muslim hijackers. Well, they were living in actually the same buildings, the same apartment buildings. They were living on the same street. And if you ask yourself, what are the odds that these 19 Israeli or these 19 Arab supposed hijackers would be living in the same exact building on the same floor as these Mossad agents or these IDF agents? The odds are astronomical. Yet here they are, and we have proof in this book. Their addresses are shown, how they're living right next door to each other. What the Israelis were doing was setting up a legend around these 19 Israelis. So after 9/11 happened, they can say, well, look at this, 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 and this, and they could pin the crime on them. Well, we know that they weren't the ones responsible for it, because what I always ask people is, do you think that these 19 Arab cave dwellers, these people that they would have the expertise to have our military stand down to wire the World Trade Center towers for demolition? The one man who got blamed for running his jet into the Pentagon, he was so inept that he tried to rent a plane 2 weeks before 9/11 from a private airport. They wouldn't even rent the airplane to him because they said his motor skills were so bad that he couldn't even drive an automobile, let alone an airplane. Yet we're to believe that he did these Top Gun maneuvers like Tom Cruise and perfectly crashed this plane into the Pentagon. It's all malarkey, Tex. It's, like I said, the only thing the government told the truth about on 9/11 was that the sun was shining that morning. Everything else is a bold-faced lie.
Now, I remember reading in our local newspaper another story that was covered up. I never heard any more about it, but it mentioned that the FBI, immediately after 9/11 had occurred, within hours, they had swooped down on a military, like a hotel, military housing, almost like a dormitory, transient housing, I think at Pensacola Naval Air Station, where the Navy trains aviators. And they said that they had swooped down, had taken control, brought into custody, apprehended a couple dozen Arab and other students there. And that story, and evidently some of the so-called hijackers, the Arab hijackers, had been trained as pilots down at Pensacola Naval Air Station. Now, what are the facts on that?
Well, you're absolutely right, and there's an author named Daniel Hopsicker who wrote an entire book on this subject. I don't remember the exact name of it, something like Escape to Terrorland or Welcome to Terrorland. And yeah, you're exactly right, Texas, that these individuals were being trained down at this air base in Florida. So you're absolutely right about that. Also, if people can recall, 6 or 7 years ago, there was a huge Israeli spy scandal in America shortly after 9/11, where 120 different Israelis were arrested for their role in spying. And if anyone goes to the back of 9/11 Evil, there's a huge laundry list of all the terrorist exercises and so forth, like the Levon affair, the USS Liberty and so forth, that Israel's been carrying out for the last 60 years. And there was just another one recently where Israelis, you know, there's minor spy scandal. You had Jonathan Pollard and so forth. So there's nothing new about Israeli spying in our country, our supposed ally, when, you know, there's also information how they've stolen our military and intelligence secrets and sold them to the Chinese. So, you know, when we start really scratching the surface of this, it's a very dangerous trend. And it hasn't stopped, Tex. They're still spying in this country to this day. I mean, there's so many Israelis that want Jonathan Pollard, who's done more damage to this country than any spy in history, they want him released and to be free. So, you know, for like that old saying, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Oh, absolutely. Now Mohammed Atta and some of the other hijackers, it appears from the evidence that these hijackers did work for the Israeli Mossad. And in fact, we know that thousands of Arab agents work for the Mossad, and they go into the Palestinian towns and cities. They finger anyone suspected of cooperating with Hamas or others that might oppose the Israelis. So this is you know, and this goes this holds true for Turkey, Iraq, Iran. Mossad agents are very active, so it's not unusual to have Arab agents working for the Israelis, is it?
Well, when you were talking about that, it reminds me of World War II, when there were Zionists working directly with the Nazis. Now, when I make a statement like that, people are like, they say, you're out of your mind, you're crazy. But there's documented proof that the Nazis and the Zionists at that time had the same goal in mind. They wanted the Jews out of Europe, and they wanted to create a homeland in the Middle East. And, of course, we had the Balfour document, which was crafted by the Rothschild family, who are obviously Jewish. So this is nothing new also with the Jews working with their supposed enemies. They work with the Arabs, and they also, in the past, have worked with the Nazis. With them, it doesn't matter who they work with, just so their goals and objectives can be met. They'll sell their soul to anybody.
I agree. Now, there's the money factor. Anytime you find the Zionists, you're going to find a lot of money. Now, I would think this operation would need a lot of money. You need to keep the Arab so-called hijackers, who are really just fools, you know, sort of like a Lee Harvey Oswald, who are patsies. And even Lee Harvey Oswald, remember, he said, quote, I'm a patsy, and sure enough, he was. These people were patsies, too, but they needed to be paid off and such. Then Larry Silverstein, being the crumb that he is, I doubt very seriously he'd want to put up his own money. So perhaps he was able to obtain billions of dollars to buy the World Trade Centers. So there's a lot of money going back here, back and forth, to pay off all these agents to carry forth this. Israel has never been too eager to pay money itself. They've always been more than willing to use American taxpayer monies. And then comes into play a man that you name in your book, a very strange character named Dov Zakheim. Well, tell us about Mr. Zakheim.
Now we're getting to the root of everything. On September 10th, 2001, the day before the 9/11 terrorist attacks, Donald Rumsfeld held a news conference and said that $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon. Now, this isn't $2.3 million, not $2.3 billion. $2.3 trillion was missing. It was gone.
$2.3 trillion. Now, everybody out there who's on Social Security, I suspect that $2.3 trillion you could triple your Social Security payments for the next 10 years of everybody in America for $2.3 trillion.
Well, we could pave a lot of highways and do a lot of other
stuff. Oh, you could build an entire new interstate system throughout America with bridges and all for that much money.
Exactly. Now, the guy that was the Pentagon comptroller was a man named Rabbi Dov Zakheim.
Well, no. Not a rabbi as the comptroller, the head of all the money for the Pentagon? A rabbi, a Jewish rabbi.
Rabbi Dov Zakheim, had a dual Israeli-American citizenship. His grandfather actually married a member of Karl Marx's family. Karl Marx, of course, the communist. His father was a member of various Israeli terror groups. Dov Zakheim was also a member of the PNAC, who wrote this seminal document called Rebuilding America's Defenses, which was the blueprint for 9/11, and he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So when the Pentagon was missing $2.3 trillion, there was one man who was the chief accountant, and it was Rabbi Dov Zakheim. Now, that
just a minute. Just a minute. People don't understand. Comptroller in the military, remember, I was an Air Force officer, retired after 20 years. The comptroller is the man who must know all of the plans, because everyone must present their budget requirements to him. He would know where every bolt goes, every penny is spent for every weapon system. He would have to know all the top secret classified information, everything. He's the guy that has control of the money. So talk about a spy, and he was a Israeli citizen. I mean, forget about Jonathan Pollard. This guy knows everything, and he's an Israeli.
Harry Truman said the buck stops here. Well, when this $2.3 trillion was missing, it stops with Dov Zakheim. But that's not all, Tex. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Dov Zakheim was also the CEO of this company called Systems Planning Corporation. Now, why are they important? Because what they did was they were at the forefront of testing remote control aircraft.
Oh, my
goodness. A lot of
people
said that there weren't any pilots on these two jets that struck the World Trade Center towers, that they were actually flown in by remote control, and I would say I agree with that theory. So the company that was making these remote control aircraft, Dov Zakheim, the rabbi, was the CEO of it. But it doesn't stop there. He also had a subsidiary called the Tri-Data Corporation. And if anybody recalls, back in 1993, there was also a bomb scare at the World Trade Center towers. You remember that? Now, it didn't destroy the towers, but some bombs went off in the cellar of the World Trade Center towers, did some damage. Well, this Tri-Data Corporation was given the job of investigating it. So all of the blueprints, all of the floor plans, all of the security for both World Trade Center towers were given to Tri-Data Corporation, whose CEO, or which was a subsidiary of Systems Planning Corporation, which Rabbi Dov Zakheim was the CEO.
So from 93 to 2001, they were able to figure out and work with their expert bombing munitions people to decide exactly where to put the bombs in the building that could be used to implode the two towers. They had 7 or 8 years to work on it with all the blueprints.
So he was one of the few people in the world that had access to these blueprints. He knew every nut and bolt inside the World Trade Center towers. There's one last thing. He also had a contract with a company in Florida that retrofitted Boeing aircraft. And these were probably the ones used on the morning of 9/11. Also, when this $2.3 trillion was lost from the Pentagon, guess what else they lost in the same time frame, Tex? They lost 56 fighter planes, 32 tanks, and 32 Javelin missiles. This is all when Dov Zakheim is the comptroller. And there's a lot of speculation that some of these fighter planes that were lost, were the ones retrofitted at this company in Florida and then remote control aircraft into the World Trade Center tower. So Dov Zakheim, I call him the mastermind because he had access to the money, he had access to the remote control, he had access to the floor plans, and he had access to these stolen jets that were retrofitted and then flown into the World Trade Center towers. If there's one man at the core of all of this, it's Rabbi Dov Zakheim, dual Israeli-American citizenship.
You know, it sounds like he needs a little bit of waterboarding. Maybe about, a good 30 minutes of waterboarding to make him tell the story of what happened. And, of course, waterboarding is not torture. So maybe some independent nation, when he, visits sometime in the future, can put some handcuffs on him and take him away to a cell, take all his clothes off, put some electrical, wires on his genitals and give him a little waterboarding. since the Bush administration doesn't seem to think that that's torture. And of course, I'm all speaking. I'm out of turn here. I don't really mean that, but it, you know, at all. But you know, when people like this so casually want to torture people and kill and go bomb, bomb, bomb Iran, as John McCain says, you know, these people are not normal. They're psychopaths, aren't they?
Well, and that's why I gave this book the title 9/11 Evil, is that, you know, a lot of people are apologists for evil, or they excuse evil. They're afraid to pinpoint evil. And I've gone long, are way past that right now. Right now, it's time to say that there is actual physical evil that exists in the world. And with men like Dov Zakheim, with Larry Silverstein, with Benjamin Netanyahu, and Richard Pearl, and Dick Cheney, and all these other individuals we've spoken about tonight, this is evil, Tex. And I can remember that morning in 9/11, how it affected me and how it affected so many other people. Innocent families just destroyed for life because their loved ones were in those towers that morning, or they were in Shanksville, or were, they were into Pentagon, whatever. This is evil, and, you know, you wonder why none of this is brought out. Well, a guy named Ariel Sharon, who had the nickname The Butcher, everybody knows who Ariel Sharon is, on October 3rd of 2001, a little less than a month after 9/11, he was on a radio show in Israel called the Kyle Yisrael Radio Show, and he told Shimon Peres, this is an exact quote. He says, every time we do something, you tell me America will do this and do that. I want to tell you something very clear. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it. When you hear a statement like that, it just sends shivers up my spine, because he's bragging that Israel owns America. And when you look at this war in the Middle East, we're fighting a Jewish war. We're the ones doing their dirty work for them. We give them $10 billion in aid every year that isn't repaid. Tex, how did our country get hijacked by this little sliver of a country in the Middle East?
Well, it's taken a long time, a lot of money. And, you know, I'm convinced it has biblical proportions to it. Because Jesus talked about the devil being the father of these people. And I'm talking about the Zionists who use the Talmud and the Kabbalah, their magic, and seek a Zionist kingdom on planet Earth, a Jewish utopia. And, of course, they would even sell their own blood to the devil if necessary. And they have. They have sold their own blood in World War II and many other occasions in history. So they're willing to see even the majority of Israeli citizens dead in order that a small rogue element at the top can pursue their wealthy aims of the New World Order. I tell you, you've done so much good, Victor Thorne, with this book, 9/11 Evil. I want to again recommend it. It's been called the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written. Well, you know, there needs to be a Victor Thorne. And God just sometimes decides to call truth tellers to work, and that's what he's done here. Thank you so much for being on our program today, Victor.
Well, thank you, Tex, and I want all your listeners out there to appreciate what they have in you doing this broadcast, the books and videos, the newsletter you put out, because I've been, the first Tex Mars book I bought was in 1993. I've been reading and watching your videos ever since, and there's few people out there that are willing to put their neck on the line like you are, and so I hope that they appreciate what they have there and they support in the future what you're doing.
Hey, appreciate it, Victor. And God bless you and your precious wife, Lisa, as well. And, folks, by the way, I don't want any harm to come to Dov Zakheim or anyone else, but I would like the truth to come out of his mouth. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today. My special guest has been Victor Thorne. His book, 9/11 Evil, is available. And my prayer is that you will tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.